This is a CBC podcast. From the smallest subatomic particles to the largest objects in the sky, Quirks and Quarks is there. Every week, host Bob McDonald presents the people behind the latest discoveries in the physical and natural sciences. Go to cbc.ca/quirks for podcasts, downloads, and more.
A young man charged with criminal negligence causing death in an overdose 2 years ago has been found not guilty. Kyle David Fredericks was accused of providing the drug Dilaudid to Josh Graves at a house party. Today, a judge called the death of Josh Graves a sad and senseless tragedy, but he said there wasn't enough evidence to warrant a criminal conviction. The CBC's Jack Julian was in court for today's verdict. He and other reporters spoke with Kyle Fredericks' father, Dave Fredericks, after the judge made his ruling.
When you were in court and you heard that verdict, what went through your mind?
I thought it was the right decision, yeah.
So what's today going to hold for you and Kyle?
Later today, I don't know. I have to wait and see. He's not here yet.
But any plans? I mean, any...
We're going to have
celebration or anything.
We're going to have something to eat and go from there.
Any thoughts on this whole process and what has happened here to your son?
I don't think it should have happened.
What kind of effect has it had on him?
I haven't talked to him yet. You know, all you can do is talk on a monitored phone, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to wait and see when he gets out.
So what's it going to mean now to be able to see him face to face after 3 months?
It's going to be better than looking through a piece of glass.
You said this never should have happened.
No.
I mean, why is that?
So I just don't feel that the charges were warranted. I don't think they were there. There was just no proof of it, right?
And so why did it happen?
Because the cops had a complaint filed against them and they had to do something.
Kyle Fredericks' father, David Fredericks. One person not in court today was Josh Graves' sister, Amy Graves. After her brother's death, she became a strong voice in the fight against prescription drug abuse in this province. Hello, welcome back to Main Street.
Thanks for having me.
Why did you decide to stay away from court today?
Because I had an idea that he would be acquitted just because his confession was ruled inadmissible. So I really didn't want to be there for any kind of cheers, or it's not a time of celebration for me and my family, so I thought I'd stay at home and just be by myself and take it in and try to deal with it the best way possible.
When you heard that he had been found not guilty, what was your reaction?
Extreme disappointment, of course. Had a good cry. Then, you know, just try to look at the bright side of things that, you know, I really feel like even if he was found guilty today of trafficking, he probably wouldn't have been sentenced that much longer. He served quite a bit of time due to his escaping custody charges. And the whole point of this from the beginning was to make people accountable for their actions. My brother was accountable in the worst way. He lost his life for his poor choice. So I just felt the other poor choices, such as the person trafficking the drugs, which is a criminal offense, they should be held accountable. And also politicians, police, everyone be accountable for their kind of piece of the pie. It's no one person's fault. I feel like this situation is a culmination of many things that could have been prevented.
Judge Alan Tufts believed that Fredericks gave your brother a pill at the house party on the night that Josh died, but the judge ruled there wasn't enough evidence to prove those were the drugs that caused your brother's death. What do you make of that reasoning?
I still think that if he believes he gave my brother a pill, that is trafficking in the eyes of the law. Even if it wasn't the one that killed him, it's still trafficking. And I do believe it was the one that killed him. My brother was not a regular user. He didn't have a history of this. There wasn't a large amount found in his system, but it was enough that the medical examiner said that it was the cause of his death. But it wasn't a large amount, so it didn't show like a long-term use or insane amounts. His body wasn't used to it. He didn't have a tolerance, and that's why he suffered that fate, while some other people at the party who used the same as him woke up the next morning because their bodies had more tolerance than his did.
Do you have any hope the Crown might file an appeal in this case?
Definitely. I really feel like the confession should have been admissible. The reason that the judge said it wasn't is because Kyle Fredericks recanted his confession, saying he was going through withdrawals. Watching the confession video, the officer asked him many times if he had been using drugs. He continually said he was clean, said a police officer had got him into detox, said he was in a methadone program. So I think the officer did all due diligence to make sure he was in a good state of mind. And the only symptom of withdrawal that was shown in the video was he was cold. He was not excessively ill or anything like that. So I think it sets a not great precedent in terms of confessions and police. I hope this is appealed because I don't want other people who commit crimes to use that excuse, oh, well, I was going through withdrawal.
The judge said it was a combination of police tactics that raised doubts about that confession.
Yeah. The tactics, though, what tactics? He yelled. That's about it. He said that he offered him a deal. He didn't offer him a deal. What he, Carl Fredericks, kept saying is, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be charged for manslaughter. And he said, you can't be charged for manslaughter. That's not an appropriate charge, which is true. It's not saying you're not going to get in trouble. He wasn't being charged with manslaughter. The charge was criminal negligence causing death. So I guess judges, they have a lot of discretion and they interpret things in their own way. But I feel the officer did everything in the right way. I don't hold anything against him. I'm actually very thankful that he took the case and I wouldn't have him change anything.
What do you think the long-term impact of this case is?
I hope that it continues to set a precedent. I'm hoping that even though he was not found guilty, that the cases after this, like Katana McDonald's case in the Annapolis Valley, is going to be going to trial in May. My brother's investigation wasn't started until a year after his death. It's right, I did file a complaint, and then they did do an investigation and where Carl Fredericks confessed. I think that's enough evidence to warrant charges when you have someone confessing to a crime. And I'm hoping in Katana McDonald's case, since they started the criminal investigation right from the get-go, that they're just not relying on confession and witness statements, that hopefully there'll be some physical evidence and, I don't know, cell phone records, more that was lost in terms of my brother's case.
After Josh's death, you became a crusader against prescription drug abuse. You've since stepped back a bit from that. What does the future hold for you now?
I'm currently a criminology student. I'm here in Halifax, and this will never leave me. I'm never going to be done with it because I don't feel like the problem's ever going to go away. And I just want to be a voice for the issue because I know there's so many other people in the province that are suffering. And a lot of people feel like they're alone. They feel like they're the only ones, and they're not. And the more people that come forward and tell their stories and put down their foots and say no more, I feel like Josh may have not had the desired outcome with his case, but hopefully other families will because of Josh's.
Do you have any regrets about coming forward as an advocate?
Not one bit. It's hard. It's painful because you do have backlash. I do get emails saying that my brother deserved it. And it's a very controversial issue. It is. And I do have to deal with a lot of opinions about myself and my brother. But I really do, in my heart, feel like this is an issue that's affecting all kinds of Nova Scotians, not just people in the Annapolis Valley. And it warrants the attention. And I'm thankful that the media has kept it in the public eye. So policymakers, people who are in power who can make the changes, feel the pressure and do so.
Amy Graves, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Amy Graves, her brother Josh Graves, died after taking a lethal mix of alcohol and Dilaudid at a house party nearly 2 years ago in the Annapolis Valley.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.